together. Let's thank him for his word. Thank him for his presence and for his great faithfulness. We just come to you. We present ourselves afresh. We say, work your work in us and through us for your glory, Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we honor you today. Amen. It's good to be challenged. The flesh doesn't like it, right? But it's good to be challenged. And because of the season we're in, and the the unveiling of the plans that God has for us in this place, there's a whole lot of resistance going on in the spirit. I know myself, Kathy, the elders, and many of you are feeling that pushback. Well, you push back. This is a time not to shrink back, but to push back as well. So I've been being challenged in my studies. Ooh. That too. Let's read the word together. 3 John. Third letter of John. The elder to the beloved, Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church. And you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So obviously, the letter that was written here to Gaius, he was no stranger. He was a beloved friend of John. And there's a lot here, but I'm going to focus on one aspect of it. Well, I've been thinking, or been being challenged in my thinking, on some things related to the sin nature. why Christians sin, why I still sin after 38 years of walking with the Lord. Why? How can I still sin? These are deep things. Things like union with Christ, the power of his blood, the power of the Holy Spirit that is living in you and in me, the righteousness of Christ, the depth and love of the Father. All these things, instead of answering my questions, I have more questions. Why? How can I still sin? How can I yield, whether in thought or in action? How can I do that still? Well, the Apostle Paul speaks, and this would be good for us to study, and I have a feeling I'm going to be going there in the future, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 to Romans chapter 8, that vicinity. Well, Paul speaks about there on things related to what I'm being challenged with. Things like being dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 5. Being united and identified with Christ. The conflict, the war within us of the two natures. The sin nature and the fact that we have the power of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit living within us. The power for victorious living. I want to touch on one thing today, though, the word truth. It's mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament alone. And that, in the dictionary, that's defined some of the ways, the state of being the case. That's truth. Fact, the body of real things, events, and facts. Actuality, the fundamental or spiritual reality. So I've entitled this morning's message, Making Room for Truth. In other words, allowing truth to change me, to change my life, the way I think, how I act. And contrary to what Pilate says, what is truth? In the Gospels, just before he turned Jesus over to the mob, this is truth. The Word of God is truth. It doesn't deviate. It's not subject to new interpretation for someone's convenience or because this is a new day. No, this word was the same when it was written. It's the same word today. It doesn't change. There's no deviation. Just like there's no deviation with him. There's no shifting shadow, the scripture says. It means God doesn't change his mind. He is who he is. And what he plans or what he says, he will do. Same with his word. It's true. So making room for truth or the truth in your life. So number one, how do we make room for the truth? We have to love the truth. We have to love and cherish this word. It's not just a book. It's life. It's salvation. It's so many more things. But it is truth. We need to love the truth. And John expresses his love for Gaius here in verse 1 as a faithful friend, as a brother in Christ. But more than that, how he sees Gaius responding to truth. That's really the underlying sentiment of what John is communicating here in this letter. Responding and living life with a love for truth. Matthew Henry has made this statement, one of the commentators. To love our friends for truth's sake is true love, gospel love. And I would even say God's agape love. And that's what we're witnessing here in the sentiment that Paul is conveying in this letter that we call the third letter of John. But even in the Old Testament, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, Zechariah 8:19, it says, almost as a command, so love truth and peace. And then in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, speaking on the influence of the enemy and deception or being deceived, it says in that verse, they did not receive the love of the truth. When you submit to the truth and you love the truth, you're not going to be easily deceived. You're not going to be swayed because you're going to know that you know that you know that this word is true. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. 1 John 3, verse 18 and 19. Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So we need to love this truth that we've been given so that this truth in turn will impact your life, and your life in turn will impact others. You know, I think Paul even said it this way, that he was a living epistle to be read. Something along those lines. In other words, he's living out this truth because it's radically changed his life. And if we haven't been radically changed, then I wonder if we're really saved. I really do wonder if we just said a quick, you know, three steps, we said the sinner's prayer, but then nothing changed in our life. If we weren't radically impacted by the Word of God, I doubt that we are really saved. Is this too hard? You can imagine how I feel when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me about this stuff. We are not beyond the impact of this word. We are not ever beyond this truth. It always has the ability to keep speaking life into us, that we might live for the glory of the Lord. Secondly, how do we make room for truth? We walk in it. Walk in the truth. Verses 3 and 4. John says, how you are walking in truth, verse 3. The brethren observed the life of Gaius and how he displayed his love for God and his love for the truth. Second John, verse 4. I was very glad to find some of your children, he wrote that letter to another elder, walking in truth, just as we received commandment to do from the Father. And he's referring in this case to the Old Testament. Remember, they didn't have the complete New Testament when some of these things were being communicated. So he's referring to Leviticus 19:18. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we are really understanding the power that's in this word of truth, we will relate to God differently, and we will relate to one another differently as well. A couple of quotes from two well-known gentlemen. About walking in truth. This is John Stott in his book, The Epistles of John. To walk in the truth is more than to give assent to it. It means to apply it to one's behavior. He who walks in the truth is an integrated Christian in whom there is no dichotomy between profession and practice. Dichotomy is two things. So he's saying there's no difference between profession, what you say, and what you do, practice. On the contrary, there is in him an exact correspondence between his creed and his conduct. Such conformity of life to the truth on the part of his children brought John greater joy than anything else. To him, truth mattered. And we hear all these slogans these days about such and such matters. And I would submit to you, truth matters. And a theologian, H.A. Ironside, I wonder if you'd want to sit under his teaching. He said this, God forbid that we should traffic in unlived truth. So, continuing on here in verse 4 in 3 John, he says, I have no greater joy, John speaking, and I believe the Father would speak the very same thing. I have no greater joy than this, the things which I'm hearing of my children, talking about spiritual children. And the response to truth is a response to his love. You will respond to this truth not by rote or by, you know, or fear or any other motivation. You respond to truth because of his love for you. And that's called a changed life. I was a life that was changed. So we need to be aware of how we walk, because others are watching how you walk. They're watching what you say, and they're watching what you do. And they're watching whether what you say and what you lines up with what you do. whether your testimony matches what your beliefs are. Therefore, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Men who, and J.B. Phillips renders this way. Men live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. So I think it's a fair statement that we all need to make more room for truth, for this truth here in our lives. And of course that means making time for it. It means not just reading a chapter a day and okay, I'm good till tomorrow. But then, or how do I apply this word? See, when you get, when I preach a message like I did last Sunday, you are responsible for what you hear. You understand that? When the Word of God goes forth, or when you read it, you are accountable to this truth. It's not like any other book. Once the Word is preached, you have a responsibility to then respond to what the truth is. So, it's not up to me. I don't worry about whether or not you respond to what I preach. I hope you do, but it's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to just speak it. We're all going to be accountable for what we've heard from this word on that day. Number three, in making room for truth, are you with me? Partner with for truth or promote the truth. This is taking it to the next level, if you will. Verse 8. There is strength, encouragement, and support when we walk in truth and unity with fellow workers in and for the truth or the gospel. And that's what John is commenting on here. We ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers of the truth. And so you don't have to worry about, this is where the role of prayer comes in. No, not everybody has the call to preach or teach the Word of God. And it's and quite frankly, it wouldn't be my choice, because those that do are held to a higher standard. They're going to be held accountable for how they handle this truth. And so the natural man would say, I don't want to be responsible. But the spirit man says, I want to get it right. I want to preach the uncompromised word of God. I want to preach the truth as truth, and not manipulate it or use it for personal gain or for anything other than what it is, truth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, or is that verse 11? What did I give you? 11. Can't read my own writing. Fellow workers for the kingdom of God. They have proved to be an example to me, Paul says. And so, you know, we can receive inspiration or encouragement when we see fellow workers responding to the truth, speaking the truth, speaking it when it's not popular, when it's hard, obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit nonetheless. Fellow workers. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. The Amplified says, strengthen, establish, exhort, comfort, and encourage in the faith. So no one has a monopoly on this word. No one has all the wisdom, all the giftings. God just challenges us to do our part in what the Holy Spirit would ask. But we need fellow workers. We need to partner with fellow workers and promote this truth. 2 Corinthians 8:23. As for Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker among you. Now, I found that that word partner is, in the Greek, koinonos. Say that fast three times. But I found that the word koinonia, which some of you are familiar with, which means the fellowship we share because we're believers, comes from that word, partner. In other words, we're partners in the gospel. Fellow believers, we're participating, if you will, in the truth. So this is an awesome concept here that this word is conveying. I know it sounds corny, but being fellows in the same ship, in other words, means moving together, united in purpose. United in purpose, love and devotion to the one who loved you so much and still does. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this gospel mission we've been given. So we need to understand that because we have the Holy Spirit, we can do great things. Believe that? But here it is. We can do greater things together when we partner with one another. Because then all the giftings, all the varied expressions of Jesus Christ are there. And they get released when they're needed. So we can do greater things for the kingdom of God together than we can individually. And this season illustrates that very clearly. There will be no lone rangers in this move of God that we find ourselves in. The lone ranger is going to need Tonto. Can't do it alone. Number four, in making room for truth, we need to practice truth. Verse 5, he says, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. This is known as practicing what you preach. Living and leading by example. Sold out for Jesus. Philippians 4:9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul encouraging his fellow workers. 2 Peter 1, for your study, verses 1 to 10. If you practice these things, it says, and it says it in the previous verses there, if you practice these things, in other words, live for and practice truth, you will never stumble. again, you need to read the context there. What are these things? 1 John 3:9-11. In particular, verse 10 says, practice righteousness, or practice what is just, what is right, what is true, what is correct, what is true to the character of Jesus Christ. So we need to follow the example of Jesus, and others will be led to follow Jesus, because they will witness the fact, or not. My high school friends, I could actually say the right word is probably abandoned me when I received Christ. And why was that? It wasn't that I was preaching at them. I'm serious. I didn't preach the Bible. They felt convicted in my presence. And why is that? Because I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit. I carry His presence. When you walk into the room, the Holy Spirit enters the room. Remember that. And be careful how you walk, because you're His representative. To practice righteousness, to follow the example of Jesus. John 13:15, I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. And what is Jesus taught? This is just after what? He washed their feet. That's where that verse is in John. And so what he's saying is, love and serve one another. Practice the truth. Do as I did unto you. James would say it this way, James 1:25. Do not be forgetful hearers, but be effectual doers of the word, and you will be blessed. Making room for truth. Do you know you need to make more room? You know why that is? Because you haven't arrived yet. You are a work in progress, just like me. And I still need that word to impact me deeper. But it's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility, how I respond to the truth. It's not someone else's. I can't point fingers or assign blame to someone else when there's something going on in my life that doesn't glorify Jesus Christ. Making room for truth. Number 5, witness or testify to truth. Verses 6 and 12. It says there in 6, they bear witness to your love before the church. In other words, it's obvious in this man's lifestyle, how he speaks to people, how he treats people, what he does when he sees a need that needs attention. Expressed in his a lifestyle of living for truth, being a witness and testimony of the power of the gospel and the power of the love of Jesus Christ that he has extended and he keeps extending to you and I. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. We could paraphrase it this way. They witnessed the truth in your life, in Demetrius's life. They witnessed the transforming power of the gospel truth in Demetrius's life. The truth itself backed him up because of his witness, his testimony, his godly example, and we and others bear witness, and the truth itself bears witness. It says there, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, or you abide what? In truth. If you live the truth, if you lead a life that lines up with truth, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verse 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. And this is not the Logos, this is the Rhema word of God. In other words, being open when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. That's basically what that verse is saying. He who is of God hears the words of God, or the truth of God. John 18, verse 37, Pilate speaking, having spoken to Jesus, and Jesus responds, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, to bear witness to the truth." And that's when Pilate responds, "What is truth?" Because he doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to be responsible. So he hands Jesus over to the mob. Even though he symbolically washes his hands of the matter, he's responsible for what he did. I have been born for this very thing, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice and receives the truth. In other words, that's what that's saying. Not only hear it, but responding to the truth. So we need to be a witness and testify to truth. We need to make more room for this truth to continue to impact our lives. Is that you this morning? That's me. I need more. I need to go deeper in my response to truth. The world is watching, and I would even say the world is hungry for answers. And this is the answer that they don't know it, but this is the answer they're looking for. They're looking for truth. They're looking for something that's real and reliable and that they can count on. And we can present this truth. In fact, we are responsible to be presenting and testifying and witnessing to this truth. And so we need to present Jesus not just as a nice guy, not just he loves you. That's part of the gospel. That is true. But we need to confront sin. We need to say it like it is. And not be permissive. Not say, "Well, it's okay, you know. It's really not that bad." No, yes it is. Yes, it is that bad. And we think, "Oh, people are going to run away when we do that." We think they're going to reject. That's the power of this gospel truth. They don't, because they know it's true. We have to do it with love, yes, and with grace, yes, but we have to present the truth to people. That's what they're actually looking for. They wouldn't express it that way, but that's what they're looking for. And when we do, in an uncompromising way, then the Holy Spirit will be released to work and to do what only he can do, and what he's done in your life and in my life. Bring redemption, salvation, healing, and whatever it is needed in that life that's been yet unredeemed, that Jesus paid the price for. Making room for truth. This is where we're going, my friends. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not popular. Not going to win the popular vote by preaching a message like this. But I need to hear it, and you need to hear it. Because as we respond to this truth, it releases his presence and his power to meet every single need that you and I have, without exception. Making room for the truth. I hope you're hearing him this morning. He's serious. He's a loving God, but he's also a serious God. And this word changes us for the better. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's too painful. Or, oh, I'm not ready yet, Lord. Please, go easy on me. Well, the word also says he won't give you, I'm paraphrasing, he won't give you more than you can handle. That's gospel truth. And so, if you're going through something, and I know we are all going through something, without exception, you can handle it. Because you have him, you have the Holy Spirit, you have your faith, and you have his word. God bless you as you respond to this truth today, tomorrow.